Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am super excited. We have an incredible episode coming up for you today. We've got Jason Lukowitz of Bethel, and he's got a ton of athletic success, but they're also doing things the right way. I think you're going to love today's message. So, Jason, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Chris, pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's just dive right into it. It has been an exciting fall season up at Bethel. You guys are accomplishing a lot of things, both on and off the court. But let's start on the field. We've had a really awesome fall season. So tell me a little bit about some of the fall success up at Bethel.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is my first semester at Bethel and as the athletic director. And yeah, they've really spoiled me this fall. It's
yes,
we've had
indeed.
Success across the board. We'll start with our women's soccer team, who just won NCCAA National Championship last weekend in Florida. Was able to escape the winter vortex or whatever it is up here.
You got a win and some sunshine.
Yeah, 80 degrees. And our men's soccer team had a fantastic season, won regular season and tournament championship in the Crossroads League, which, as you know, is no easy feat to do either one. And advanced to the final rounds and lost in the round of 16. Unfortunately, a bit of an upset, but doesn't mask a great season that they had. Just a great group of guys. And women's volleyball advanced to the NCCAA national tournament as well. And we had a young lady on our cross country team advance to the NAIA national championships. That hasn't happened in a while. And so try not to leave anything out. We have some other sports who have championships in the spring, but if our swim and dive teams had a fantastic fall, top 10 women's team right now. And even a doubles team from our women's tennis team, a doubles pair advanced to the ITA national championships in Georgia. And that was the first time. So they've kept me busy, but it's been a blessing and just having a lot of fun and enjoying cheering these teams on.
Yeah. What a blessing. I mean, you get to go to all these sporting events as part of your job, but it's also nice to cheer on some teams that are competing, not just on a local level, but I mean, excelling nationally. When you get into some of these, obviously the NCCAA, fantastic accomplishment. You get into some of these NAIA national championships, and you're looking at some extraordinarily high level athletics here. So you mentioned it's your first season here. So tell us about, how did you end up at Bethel and what got you here?
Yeah, it's quite the story, and I've enjoyed sharing it. I'll share it briefly, the Cliff Note version. But my background is a cross country and track and field coach. I did that for almost 20 years, and took me all over the place. Originally from North Carolina, and went to school there, and ended up back there. And I was at Montreat College for nine years. That's right outside of Asheville, North Carolina, and. And was coaching cross country and track there, and got my first experience in administration my last 2 years there while I was coaching, and just really felt the pull to that, and thought that I could make an impact on a bigger level with coaching coaches, and enjoyed my time and what I was able to do there administratively, and was looking for a chance to do that vocationally, and there wasn't a door open at the time, and actually stepped away from it all a year ago and took a job in nonprofit philanthropy. I was director of philanthropy for a senior living community and in Asheville. And it was fantastic. I've learned so much. It's a great organization. And but learned very quickly that, man, I missed higher education and college athletics, and that I was walking in my strengths best when I was in that space. And so a couple months into that, we got hit by Hurricane Helene pretty hard, devastated the area where I lived in, and several months of just kind of pushing through that. And on the backside, you know, the feelings were still there of wanting to, you know, work in this space. And we knew that might require a move, and we were quite settled and happy where we were living, lived
That's
in a beautiful
a tough
place.
One.
Our kids were in a good spot, and my wife and I just started praying and felt the Lord's call. Wasn't sure where. And in his providence, I found out about Bethel opening, and It wasn't something, I don't know, they were looking for me and I wasn't looking for them necessarily. We didn't know about each other, but
Here we are.
what's yeah, phone call led to a Zoom meeting, just led to a phone call, and God just kept making a way. And been telling everybody it's been one big trust fall with Jesus before, during, and continuing. So
I get it.
yeah, we're here in Mishawaka and having a blast.
Perfect. Yeah, I was going to sneak that in there for the folks listening at home. We've got a lot of folks locally because we're still like 3, 4 months into the mission, but we do blessed that we picked up a pretty large national audience. So Mishawaka is basically South Bend, Indiana,
Yes, that's
which
correct. Yeah.
from a weather standpoint is a little different than you said Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah,
So a
yeah.
little different weather. You are putting some salt on the driveway and shoveling some sidewalks this week.
Yeah, we've been doing plenty of that. Yeah. It is funny though, because I think a lot of folks here in Northern Indiana think of North Carolina and they think of the beach. And I had to
Right.
remind them, I was like,
Not
hey, we're at
Asheville.
about 3,000 feet and we got some cold and snow, but not the sustained level that I think we're gonna have here. So we're bracing
Yeah, you're
for
pretty
what's
far
coming.
south. Well, the nice thing though is I think a lot of times too when you look at in the south, especially for like baseball and some of those sports tend to be seen and football tend to be seen as maybe a little bit more fertile recruiting grounds. When it
Yeah.
comes to recruiting athletes, you're in an incredible spot. Indiana is absolutely loaded. And obviously, you guys recruit from beyond there as well, but you're getting some fantastic athletes all across the spectrum out here. So.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know the area a little bit. It's going to take some time for me, but leaning on the coaches a lot and my kids playing sports now. I'm going to different places and for their games, and so I'm learning quickly. Yeah, the Indiana geography and Michigan even, but it's been a lot of fun. I'm a quick study.
I hear you. I didn't know anything. I went to high school and college in Florida. My wife's an Indiana farm girl. I always joke she got home field advantage and we got married.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything out here. And then just from coaching over the last 5 years, I think I know every little small town high school. I know what class
Yeah.
they're in. I know their mascot. We were just up in Detroit Saturday for my youngest daughter basketball tournament. So, oh yeah, you get to map out the area pretty quick. How old are the kids again?
So we have four boys. We have two in college,
Okay.
21-year-old, 18-year-old, who are down south at schools there, and then we have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old, all boys, but they're at Elkhart Christian
Okay.
Academy. So it's basketball season. They're both playing, both hooping right now. So
Nice. Well, it's good
yeah.
they're boys. I got your girls Sunday in our draw. We got it.
Okay.
We got ECA Sunday, so
Okay.
we'll see how it goes. You guys got a pretty good program up there, man.
Yeah. They're doing a good job.
So I find it fascinating because I think we're kindred spirits in that you said, you tried, let's call it quote unquote the real world for a
Yeah.
year, right? I think I'm incredibly blessed. I started speaking professionally before I graduated college, and my wife and I are entrepreneurs. But we had like a weird year in there when we were kind of younger, figuring stuff out, and said, you know what, maybe we'll just take a job. And we just felt the pull back to, where God really wanted us. And that's something obviously I've been going through lately too. I've cut back the speaking schedule. I really feel like God has led me to play in faith, to build this mission and to pour into athletics. So what was it about coaching others, leading others in athletics that really felt that pull or drew you back?
Yeah, that's a great question because, by the world standards, I took a step up, I leveled up, whether it was salary or
Oh,
whether
I
it was
get it.
prestige of the position and even the schedule, being able to come and go. And what I learned quickly is, the purpose plays a big part in my life. And I was reading things, and as I was kind of going through and navigating this stuff, just realizing that God gives us all a unique identity, and it gives us gifts and talents and skills within that identity that can be used in multiple spaces. But I think there may be particular spaces that we're drawn to that our hearts kind of cry out for. And for me, that was higher education. It was, in college athletics specifically. And so just really kind of getting a sense of the other side. And again, not that it was bad, but
Oh,
just
I get
having
it.
this yearning for using the gifts that God had given me every day for the good of others and God's glory. That was just the draw. And
Man.
I learned quickly that obviously, finances are important, but I was driven by purpose more than I was by finances,
Yeah.
and just listening for the voice of the Lord and trusting that. And Just walking in the identity he created in me and my family. And so that was really kind of what kind of pulled me into that space. And yeah, it's just good to be in this environment now and excited to go to work every day and help the folks at Bethel just continue to educate students and put Jesus on display.
Yeah, it's such a good place to be. I think that's like this nice stage of life where there is a lot of pressure, right? I always say the business world's a lot like sports, and sometimes how we keep score is with title and salary. And when we find this sweet spot where you're like, you know what? It doesn't matter, right? Obviously, there are basic human needs we want to provide for our family, but purpose will always trump money in the long run. And just you wake up every morning ready to go. And so, obviously, Bethel is a very special place, someplace that fits with your core values and identity. So, what was it? Obviously, you have lots of opportunities. You can go anywhere, right? I mean, you moved 1,000 miles to be here. So, what truly was it about Bethel where you said, you know what? This is where God wants me, and I think I know why. Like, what was it about the place?
It's the Lord was very active through the process, like the Spirit, speaking. I was in a time where I was really just investing in just reading and spending time with the Lord, and the Spirit just was really active to me in that process. And sometimes God, I think God is always speaking. A lot of times we drown out his voice with all the other noise. But be able to quiet myself to hear the voice of the Lord and know that he's invested in our lives, obviously. And so just his encouragement. And so that was a huge part of it. And then going through just missional alignment was important. There were other opportunities at places. And I felt like at this point in my life, I couldn't separate my leadership from my faith. Like it would be disingenuous to go into a space. And obviously, Christians can and need to go into secular environments. And I was in one. And there's a way of doing that. But I'm just so fired up, especially in this space of integration of faith and athletics and learning how to do that in a way that honors Christ over self. And that I was like, I don't think I would be true to myself if I walked into a space where I couldn't just come every day with that fire, to just talk about Christ and talk about what athletics looks like in God's economy. And so Bethel
Love
aligned
it.
with that. And as I talked with the folks there, just so many people who've poured years and years into the students there. There's been staff that have been here 30 plus years and continuing to work. And I was just drawn to that, and a new president and his vision. We aligned well with where he wanted to go and some of my goals and thoughts. And so all the pieces just kind of fell into place. I tell people 8 months ago, I couldn't have told you where Mishawaka, Indiana was.
Yes,
And
I
I'd heard
understand
of Bethel. Yeah.
that.
But,
Right. Oh, I
and here
get
we
it.
are. Yeah. And
I know
now we're,
Mishawaka throws them off the scent because everybody knows South Bend. Of course, they know it
that's right.
for, your
Our neighbor down the
larger
street.
university, right? Maybe more on the Notre Dame side of things. But no, I think that's really interesting, like missional alignment. And I've had that same conversation when it comes to can we be in the world without being of the world, right? We just did an unbelievable interview with, I think she's 18, 19 years old, swimmer, strong in her faith, chose to go to a college that isn't particularly Christian oriented, got involved with FCA's leading Bible study and completely walking her walk and letting her light shine. And then obviously at the Christian schools, it's a little bit easier to be more overt, especially from a leadership standpoint. I think for athletes, man, let your light shine everywhere. Sometimes in the adult professional world, there are some parameters and there are some like cautions that need to be exercised. But obviously Bethel, for everybody at home, it is in the Crossroads League. We've had a lot of Crossroads League folks on here, which is by and large a pretty overtly Christian faith. With most of their member institutions. So I know we talked a little bit about some of like the core values and core principles at Bethel and being something that also kind of drew you in. So would you be willing to share some of those with the folks at home?
Yeah, I would love to. So coming in, it was important for me, again, being a new athletic director, being new to Bethel, just to kind of share my vision with the staff. And so our very first staff meeting, for like we went over just these six core values. I was like, hey, this is what I want us to be about every single day, and let this kind of be our guiding light, and not the only things, but the main things. And so the first one is We want to model a Philippians 2 life. And Philippians 2 is one of my favorite sections of scripture. Basically, Paul talking to the church in Philippi and talking about walking in humility, considering others better than themselves, and modeling Jesus in that way, right? Who came to earth and made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and then living life and dying the death we deserve to die, and rising from the grave. So walking in that humility and thoughtfulness of others to live out Philippians 2. And the second being similar,
So,
your
hey, I'm gonna
foot.
hold you. I'm gonna hold you on the first one
Oh,
real quick
yeah.
because no, I think this is really good. What we talk a lot about for coaches that may not be in an overtly Christian environment,
Yeah.
how can we still model this and be these Christian leaders? And I think that is
Yeah.
obviously don't forget the Bible part, but I mean, even take the faith-based part out of that, putting others first, serving. What a fantastic way to be a teammate and a leader in your locker room, right? I mean,
Yeah.
that is exactly. I mean, I preach that to my little fifth grade basketball team, right? Good
Yeah.
shot or great shot, right? You had a good shot and you gave it up to a teammate for a great shot. That's Philippians 2 leadership right there, right? So
Absolutely.
I think
Yeah.
that
100%.
applies in just every single sport. All right, I'll go ahead. Go number
Yeah,
two, man. Number
sorry.
two. No, it's good. It's
I
good.
love this stuff. You cut me off.
I love
Yeah. The
it.
second one's similar. It's foot washing culture. We want to be a foot washing culture. That's, the gospel story, John 13, of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And we can do that literally, certainly, but the way to do that figuratively is just, again, this idea of this isn't about me. Like, this is a place God's put me, gifts he's given me. How can I use these for his glory? And, foot washing culture looks like how we treat officials, how we treat our opponents, how
Love
we
it.
treat our those around us on a campus, our professors, the folks in cafeteria or maintenance, and just this desire of how can I serve you? The more we're thinking about serving others, the less we're thinking about our own selves. And the more we think about our own selves, the easier we get into our own feelings, and the enemy's ready to pounce with doubt, fear,
Yeah, for
shame,
sure.
guilt, those things. So if we're thinking about washing feet, figuratively, then our
Yeah.
minds are on the people around us.
Love it.
Yeah. Next one is we want to be salt and light. And I think you talked about being light. So
Yeah.
Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, salt is something that preserves. It helps, bring flavor. We want to bring our own creativity and unique personalities to a team or to an environment, or as a coach, even. You want to be authentic to yourself, but we want to be light. We want to be something that attracts people. And that light's not to attract ourselves, it's to attract to Jesus. And
Sure.
so how can our personality preserve those around us and also attract people to the good news, which is what we ultimately want to use our sports to do, is to be a podium for Christ to stand on top of. Next one is eyes on Jesus. It's a gospel story of Peter. Get Jesus walking on the water, and Peter sees him, and because his eyes are on Jesus, he's able to do things that were not of his own power. He's able to, as a human being, to walk on water, and what happens is when he starts to notice the chaos around him, because it's a huge storm, he
Yep.
starts to sink. And what a great metaphor for
Amen.
life that, we're
Yeah.
when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we're steady, and he keeps us steady. And what I love about that story is the back end of that. Peter sinks. Jesus doesn't leave him there to sink. He pulls him back up and comforts him. And then what's cool is, it doesn't say this, but it's assumed, they walk on water back to the boat
Right.
together,
It gives him a
right?
little hard time about his lack of faith.
Yeah, for sure. A little nudge. And
Yeah.
but keeping
Quiet
our
you
eyes
down.
on Jesus again just helps us to stay in the right place. And we do that by investing in time in the word and thinking and praying. And I'll get through the last two. The fifth
Okay,
one is
good.
we want to fill up our fruit baskets, and that's from Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We want to be about those things. We want to be about those things in practice, when we compete, as our coaches. I mean, and these are things we share with our student athletes, but I put this on our staff. Like, we want to be about these things as a
For
staff, and it
sure.
filters down. So if we're thinking about those things, love and joy and peace and patience, it's going to affect how we coach. It's going to affect how we interact with our athletes
Yeah.
and those around us. We want to take that to the grocery store. We want to take that to church. We want to take that to all the places that God calls us to be in our day. And when we're thinking about those things and we're filling our basket up with those things, then again, we're not thinking about the things that pull us away into selfishness and pride and
Sure.
arrogance. So,
What a
and the
great way to
last one.
lead others to Christ too, though, right? I mean, I think for a lot of people that are maybe, it's a lot of kids will grow up in. I'm a Christian in the same way. I'm from Ohio, right? Just check a box. It's like almost like a demographic box.
Yeah,
But when
for
you
sure.
see people just living and exuding that joy, peace, love, confidence, strength, it's magnetic, man, and it can really transform the culture of a team. So,
Absolutely. It's
good.
honey. It's honey to the bees.
Yeah,
Yeah.
man. All right, number
And
six, fire
yeah,
away.
last one. I know I'm cranking through.
No,
And
you're
this
good.
is one I think super important, especially for our young people, but it's to know who you are. And Ephesians 10, 2, 8 through 10. We're God's workmanship created in Christ for good works that He's prepared in advance for us. That knowing our identity, because in athletics is like whether you're a coach or whether you're an athlete, and this starts so young. Oh,
Yes, it
who are you?
does.
I'm a basketball player. No, that's what you do. That's some God's gift you do. I'm a coach. Okay, no, that's your profession. Like, who are you? And we're taking the time to stop and listen to our Creator and like, Lord, who do you say that I am? And what I'm learning in my own life is the freedom to go to God and ask questions, and that prayer is a conversation between us and our Father. A lot of times, most of my life, prayer has
Yeah.
been me talking, and
A
that's it.
request list.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes,
And
sure.
so,
Yeah.
but to be able to learn to stop and listen, but ask God questions, but instead of asking for stuff, asking Him what He thinks. What do you want me to know about this person? What do you want me to do?
That's good.
Who do you say that I am? Like, who do you say? I feel like God's given each of us a unique identity, and they'll call us by name if we
Sure.
ask. And we've been practicing those things here at Bethel and helping folks learn, like, who does God say that you are? And then walking in that and asking follow-up questions based on that identity.
I think that's so powerful in that we've been incredibly blessed already. I've had conversations with several professional athletes, a lot of college athletes, and it's been really cool the last couple of weeks. We've even talked with some really standout high school athletes who are just stunningly mature. I mean, I'm talking to some 17-year-old kids that are they got life figured out more than we do, man. It is unbelievable the level of just poise and maturity. But a recurrent theme has been almost every single one of them, completely unprompted, has told me one of the defining moments in their success in shaping their career has been understanding that their sport is something they do, it's not who they are. And every one of them admitted that in their youth, and we're talking young, like middle school, like your youngest and my two's age, that they feel that pressure, like good game equals I'm good and have value. Bad meet, bad performance, bad pitching, bad shooting day means I'm not anything. I'm not good. And I am sure they had a lot of positive role models in their life, but it took them independently praying and figuring that out. So this may be a difficult question to answer, but I think you got it. So what can your coaches, or how do you empower your coaches to coach that way, where we still want to win? Look, you guys just stacked some national championships. Your athletes are competing at an elite level, but it's who they are. It's not who they are, it's what they do. So how do you empower your coaches to instill that philosophy? Because almost every kid struggles with it.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So I think my answer may surprise you. I think in order for them to do that well, they have to ask themselves those same questions. I can't
Oh, yeah.
assume someone's 35, 40, been coaching for 15 years. We can't assume that they've asked these questions to themselves, like, who are you? Like,
Yeah.
who has God called you to be? Because I think, there's a lot of we bring a lot of our baggage into our professions and to our lives, our warts and our scars. And
Oh, we coaches get nervous too. I talk to coaches all the time where I mean, I even feel that coaching like eighth grade of like we're getting clobbered one day, and I'm like, oh, these parents probably think I'm and like, whoa, 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 this has nothing to do with me. Stop. But I mean, we all fall prey to that, right? So I that's a good point. Your coaches are going through the same thing. They're just a little bit older.
So they need to be secure in who they are so that
Yeah.
they're free to. It's like, I was telling, explaining this the other day. I'm watching a lot of middle school basketball, and you've got kids that are learning how to dribble,
Yeah.
right? And like,
Yeah.
you got some guards who don't know how to dribble with their head up. Well, they've got to learn how to dribble first before they could think about finding the right pass or getting to the right spot. And so, what a formative time to learn those gifts. But as you become proficient in that, and you're not having to think about dribbling, now your eyes are up and you're thinking about the running the player or whatever. And so I think I'm uniquely equipped in my role to help our coaches. We have a lot of young coaches too, right? Just formulate their identities the right way, their coaching styles the right way. And because that will filter down to their athletes. And sports are different and tactics are different, but I think there's uniformity in especially what we're trying to do at Bethel of, again, Jesus first. And that's not just a saying. But we have students coming in from all walks of life. We have a lot of students that come in as Christians. We have a lot that aren't. We have a lot of international students who and different faith foundations. And so I think consistency in our coaches, consistency in them being who they are, who God's called them to be, and setting that example, being that salt and light, is going to help filter down. And as you know, love is chief among those. Like if a student athlete, well, no matter what the age, if they know you care about them, that's the quickest pathway to bring out their best. And so if they think you're only about the wins and the losses or getting something out of them for your own gain, it's going to be really hard. You can accomplish things through guilt, through fear, through
Oh yeah,
anger,
it's called referent
whatever.
power, right? Right. I mean, they'll do it because you're in charge, but it's not authentic leadership. It's just referent power. So,
Exactly. And it's not the way of Jesus. So
no.
here, we can't operate in that space. It's too antithetical to our mission. And so, and again, that doesn't mean that we don't have accountability. In fact, it means we do have accountability. It doesn't
Yeah.
mean we don't have discipline. It means we have to have discipline. It's how we do what we do that matters and how we approach those things that helps these young people because they're our future leaders and they're so Gen or Gen Y, Gen Z, whatever we're at now. They get a lot of
Alpha.
they get a lot of heat. But man, what a creative, intelligent group. And we're seeing now too, I think, a resurgence of faith and
We
revival in
are.
some of these teams, and you see it at big schools and small schools, and they're hungry for truth and they're hungry for authenticity. So we got to bring that as coaches and staff.
Our high school varsity team played you guys, or your Elkhart Christian played them a week ago, and did not go well for our girls. You got a good ball club, and game's over, and I'm just kind of walking around some parents that I don't even know that well, and next thing you know, everyone's out on the court, arm in arm, huddled in a big circle, and someone said, "What are they doing?" I said, "Oh, they're praying together." And what's cool is I'm seeing that more and more. I know I've said people are probably getting sick of it. People who listen to all my episodes, my 8th grade girls are very adamant about praying before games. They don't want to do it in the locker room. They don't want to do it on the sideline. They want to do it on the floor. The reason they want to do it on the floor is they want people to see them. That's not me. I'm at a public school. That's their choice. That they're all, but it's almost like the cool thing in their school to be an FCA. And I don't know that I had the same experience at a large South Florida public high school. So no, it is really cool. You're seeing a lot more of that faith. So I'm going to throw one out at you. I hear this often. I'm not necessarily just directed at me, but like directed at other coaches, where I'll hear about a coach from someone in the stands. They need to yell at them. They need to scream at those girls. They need to scream at those guys. And I, of course, would disagree. But can we be intense, focused on winning, demanding excellence, but still do it in a way that's productive, right? Because your coaches are, look, yes, you guys have a mission, but by and large, they need to win basketball or football or baseball or something. They're supposed to win too, right? They are not just there to like, hey, that's great, we lost by 80. So how do we balance that, or where do we find that fine line?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, I think it'd be easy to just to make a list of these are the qualities, but we have before we do that, we have to acknowledge that there are different personality types. Again, God creates us in unique ways. Some people naturally turn the temperature up faster. I've always been pretty laid back. I can get excitable, but my volume level doesn't get much higher than it does right now. And my athletes would say they always knew I was upset. It wasn't what I said, it was how I looked. And so,
Oh yeah. They know you
and
had
that
enough.
could, yeah, that could sometimes be good or bad. But, we're human, right? Coaches are human and emotions are real. And so I think there has to be an element of grace, but I think there has to be consistency in the approach. If you have to consistently raise your voice to get what you want out of your athletes, I would question what we're doing, in that space. Like, if that's how we have
Interesting.
to operate. Now, the old school way, right? There's a lot
Oh
of folks
yeah.
that
Bobby
was
Knight,
just
throw a chair at him, man.
that's what we all experienced. But I think we have a unique opportunity. One, it's a different generation and it's a different time. And we could choose to ignore that. You know, like if you step in something, on your shoe, you can choose to ignore it, but it still smells bad, So we have to acknowledge the realities that it's a different generation, and that provides different opportunities. And I think there's an element of laziness when we hold so fast to what we know or how we were brought up in the coaching world, and not have the ability. I mean, you look at some of the best, and Nick Saban's talked about having to adapt. And again, you don't change your core principles, but in some of your approaches, you have to be flexible. And so I think that, again, are there moments where you might raise your voice in a huddle to try to bring you a coach has to know the
Oh,
temperature of
sure.
their team, right? And they have to know the temperature of the individuals. I'll share this too, because I mean, I coach track and cross country. And you think those are pretty laid back, but man, there's some yellers, some track coaches that can yell. And I've had freshmen come
Interesting.
in, and I'll ask them. I sit down with them every year. I'm like, "How do you like to be coached?" And I'd always ask that question to see the
Yeah.
response. And there's always going to be a few that said, "I like it when you get in my face and yell at me." And I'm like, "Okay, tell me why. Like, explain to me why that's the case and why that motivates you." And we would have some dialogue, and I would usually follow that up by saying, "Well, I'm not going to scream at you. Now I'll encourage you, and I'll raise my
Right.
volume a couple to
You can
encourage you."
challenge somebody without screaming. I mean, I can be loud and challenging, but I'm not going to be loud and demeaning, right? There's a
For
big
sure.
difference.
And that's so I think that's just important to know that we don't have to walk that path. And again, for us, it goes back to our core values. If something that we say or do takes the focus off of Christ and puts it onto ourselves, then we're off target. And we have to address that. So that's the benefit we have of being in a Christ-centered environment. But even as a Christian in a public school and high school, it's the same principle. If anything that I'm saying or doing takes the focus off of Christ, then we're off target and we need to step back and we need to turn and head back in the right direction. And sometimes that's
Interesting.
apologizing after a bad
Oh,
moment, because we're going to have
sure.
bad
Oh,
moments.
bad. Yeah, we called a bad coach moments. I had an AD on like last month. He called it. He goes, "Dude, I've had some bad dad moments." And I was like, "Yeah, like I mean, I think we all make mistakes,
Absolutely.
but to me, the fine line is, I have found, and by no means am I coaching at the same level as a lot of my guests, but after 30, 35 youth teams. When once you have a relationship and they know that you genuinely love them and want the best for them, you have a lot more latitude to coach. And I have some kids that I can be extremely challenging and brutally honest with. Like I can tell them exactly where they are, who's better than them, what they're doing wrong, what they are capable of, and what they need to do to accomplish that. There's other kids you got to be a little bit more delicate. You got to kind of meet them where they are, but you have to have that relationship first. If they don't know where you're coming from, even the yelling, you can be louder and be less heard. It's
Oh,
just
no doubt.
right through one ear because it's just all coach screaming and hollering and they actually lose a little respect for you, to be honest.
Sure, yeah, and you see it. I've seen it in middle school game this week. A student just shut down. They get yelled at and they just shut down. And again, I think there's a balance, because you do need to challenge. And
Oh
again,
yeah.
I think that's why I tell coaches, again, high school, middle school coaches, know your values and have core values that apply to your team and to you, and you model them, but then you ask them to buy in, and then that's where your accountability comes from. So if you have the core value of attitude and effort are always at 100, and then someone's not showing effort or not showing good attitude, they come to the bench. You can sit them down and say, "Hey, we agreed to this. So
Right.
tell me what's wrong. How can I help you? Because this isn't going to work. Like,
Yeah,
what's happening, what
this
I'm
is.
seeing right there, that's not going to work. So if you want to get back on the court, if you want to get back in the game, we need to figure this out really quickly, because we have to all be in alignment. We have to all be on mission, for this thing to work the way we want it to work. Not only just from a standpoint of being faith-based, but just in the pursuit of winning and the pursuit of excellence. Everyone's got to be in the boat. Everybody's got to be rowing. Sometimes that oar slips out of your hand. I'm gonna help you get that oar back. And do you want it? Okay, well, we got to row the same way. So let's get back
Amen.
on.
I mean, I find a ton of parallels between, so most of my speaking career, we talked a lot about leadership, success, excellence, culture building. It all tr business and sports, it translates together. And one of the things I like to try to instill in coaches is that it is perfectly okay to demand that your players are excellent, demand that they're excellent because you want them in the habit of being excellent, not because you want to win and look good. And so that's the times I find I'll get frustrated is you're better than this, right? And not giving your best here is going to look, most of these people aren't going to play sports for a living, but they are going to lead their communities, they're going to lead their families, and they're going to lead organizations. And please go be excellent,
Yeah,
right? And
for
sports
sure.
is a great vehicle to teach that as long as we get the leadership in place to help and transmit those values, which obviously you guys are doing very, very, very well.
Well, thank you. And I'll add to that, Chris. I think that's 100% correct. But I would also, and any young coaches, especially listening, like you can't just say, you have to define what excellence is, right?
For
You have
sure.
to, the things that you want out of your team, your expectations, you have to define what that looks like in practice. You have to
Awesome.
model it, right? And then, so it's easy to go say, hey, I demand excellence. If they don't know what that means,
Right. They think it's
right,
just
then,
winning or scoring points or getting stats
yeah,
or exactly.
I wish I'd have known that a little bit earlier in my coaching career, but just as we kind of went along, you learn, okay,
Yeah.
do they know why, what the why is behind these expectations? Am I modeling them? Secondly, and you have to have those two things in place for it to sink in. And so, yeah, the pursuit of excellence is in line with the pursuit of Christ and the pursuit of victory. Again, people ask, does God care about winning? I think he does. I think he created us to play these sports or coach these sports. He cares about the manner with which we approach it and the manner with which we go after it. Is it an idol or is it an extension of our faith in utilizing the gifts that our Creator has endowed us upon, endowed us with? And so, so yeah, excellence needs to be defined,
Love it.
or any expectation needs to be defined, so your players can learn how to own that.
Yeah, so I'm really bad at keeping these at a normal length. I always look down and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're 35 or 40. We shoot for like 30. So as I let you off the hot seat here, kind of as we wind down, so just big and broad for we got a lot of parents that listen to this. We got a lot of youth coaches, and we're starting to pick up more and more and more athletes because, look, being at Bethel or some of the schools we talk to, that's the dream for a lot of middle school and early high school kids. So for an athlete out there that's listening, they say, you know what? I would love to play at Bethel someday. Obviously, not sports specific because you're overseeing all of them. What advice would you have for a middle school, late middle school, early high school athlete who's looking at being an athlete for you?
Yeah, I would say that as you're going through that process of thinking about in middle school, certainly start to instill the habits that you're going to need to persevere and persist. Being a college athlete on any level is incredibly hard, and it's incredibly rewarding. And you have to start having those habits now, your work ethic, your attitude, not just in on the court or on the field, but in the classroom, at home,
Sure.
right? We want to talk about being excellent, but you talk back to your mom. You want to talk about being excellent, but you're, not doing your homework, right? Or you don't help with chores around the house or whatever, right? So let's start modeling the things you want to be in the future now. Like, what can you do now to prepare yourself? And those are some of the habits and some of the traits. Then as you get into high school, it's about, again, just where do you, what do you are interested in studying? Like, what type of environment do you want to be in? Big school, small school? Ask those questions. Go on. It's okay to go on a college visit as a 10th grader, just to
Oh,
go
yeah.
see, reach out to coaches. And I would say the demographic that probably misses out on this the most are the ones, the athletes that are not top end, right? And they're like, I don't know if there's a place for me.
Because
And what I
they're waiting to
love,
be recruited rather than being proactive and owning the process. And that's just not
absolutely.
how it works in 2025 for 2026.
Yeah, and just the reality that you don't even like have to be a starter on a good, you can be a six man on a really good team and it still find a place for
We're
you.
seeing it locally. We have a team of two girls that are averaging less than 3 points a game that are already signed. They're heck of good ball players, and it's an amazing program, but they, because of their character, because of their acumen, because of their work ethic, they are signed, and they are probably not going to be all conference performers even. So yeah, that's a good reminder for everybody.
Yeah, there's a place for you, and find the place that values you, that checks your boxes. And for most, you don't worry about division. I'm in an NAIA institution, Division III, Division II, NCCAA, junior college. Like, go find the place for you. If it's Division I, that's great. So, countless Division I athletes that thought they had to go big, and they end up in places like Bethel and they thrive.
Oh, sure. We've talked to a few of them actually already. Yep.
So I would never talk anyone out of going to a Notre Dame or going to an IU or
Oh,
even a
sure.
Southern Indiana, right? But don't get caught up in the outside noise. Like, you and your family, what is it that you want? Where do you feel like you and your personality are going to thrive with a coach or a program? And don't be afraid to think outside the box.
Love it.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Jason. We are going to be praying for your school and all of your programs and your athletes. And for everybody at home who may not be local, how can they follow Bethel Athletics? What's the best way for them to track some of your games, watch them, keep in touch with your program?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for that. BU Pilot, most of our games for free, and all of our socials are BU Pilots as well, Instagram,
Okay, perfect. We're gonna say it one more time. What are
Facebook.
the odds that I got a little, the only lag we've had the entire time, right when you said it, it lagged and locked up. So just real quick to make sure everybody has it at home, how can they follow your athletic programs?
Yeah, thanks for that. BUpilots.com. That's our
Got it.
website, and most
Okay.
of our games can be streamed for free.
All right,
And
perfect. Well, hopefully we bring some more fans your way, and just you guys are local-ish, but I mean, thank you for what you're doing in our community and the positive influence you and your coaches and your staff and your athletes are having on just the culture of youth sports. We're very grateful for your time, and hopefully we can come back and chat again sometime soon.
Hey, let's do it, Chris. Thanks for all you're doing as well. Love it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.